Good morning. This is Mike Stoller for the Stoller Real Estate Report on the Cats Roundtable. So what's happening in the availability of financing for real estate? During these interesting times, the rates, the T-bill rates are down 80 basis points over the past couple of months, but there are difficulties. Everybody hears about New York Community Bank, Flagstar Bank, and the question is, are there other banks in difficulties? And the other matter over there is, who's providing financing in these times? Are there new players? Where do you have the opportunity? So this morning, as I said, I have Ronnie Levine, who is the Senior Managing Director at Meridian Capital Group, and he is a leader, truly, in understanding what's going on. So is there money there?
Hey, Michael. Nice to see you. Yeah, there's always money in the system. The question is really... There's always money in the system. Really, the question right now is the cost of capital. And, you know, with the amount of loans that are in the system right now that can't be refinanced, I think that's the biggest issue facing the market right now is not the availability of capital, but it's just the leverage points that can be achieved and the cost of that capital makes refinancing a lot of existing loans very challenging.
So how are these people going to refinance their projects?
That's an issue that we're contending with on a daily basis. A lot of these deals require significant infusions of cash. The refinance proceeds are coming in significantly less than the loan balances when they mature. So you're either going to have to raise preferred equity, or you're going to have to get some kind of subordinate debt, form of mezzanine capital. You're going to have to bring some more equity to the table, or you're going to have to cut a workout deal with the bank. I mean, those are really the only options.
So are banks already doing working out deals?
We've seen some workouts from some banks. We've also seen some banks quietly selling distressed note positions. So there's a combination of things going on. It really depends on, you know, I think the simple rule with a workout with a bank is they're generally willing to play ball with a borrower that is willing to invest fresh capital into the asset. So if the borrower is willing to kind of invest back into the deal, you'll generally find more receptivity from the bank to work with them.
And what about deals that don't make sense? Are they selling them? Are the banks selling to investors and other people?
Yeah. I mean, the banks are quietly selling these notes on a one-off basis. Sometimes they'll engage a broker and list an entire portfolio for sale. You see a combination of those things. But certainly, you know, that's why, you know, when these loans go into maturity default, the rates, you start clicking at a default rate that's meaningful. And there are investors that'll buy these notes at a discount and try to get to the asset.
Now, with regard to new players in town, are there any banks? I had read the other day that Axios and Huntington Bank are been pretty active as a new lender.
Yeah, I mean, there's always new entrants into the market. I think what we're seeing today with the banks is that, you know, to get them to extend credit in real estate, the majority of the banks are looking for a relationship. So what that means is they're requiring deposits. And so, you know, some banks are requiring, if you're going to borrow, you know, $10 million, they want sometimes up to $2 million in deposits. So 20% of the loan amount some banks are looking for. Look, there's definitely new players in the market, but not enough to replace the Signatures and New York Community Banks that were the major providers of liquidity in the New York market. But what we have seen is also the CMBS market, which is really the securitized or Wall Street type lenders, stepping up and providing some liquidity in the rent regulated space, which is nice to see. So we've done some rent stabilized portfolios and buildings with what I'll call, you know, securitization or CMBS loans.
At what pricing?
You know, look, pricing is over the index. Generally, it's either 5 or 10 year loans, and, you know, spreads range from, you know, call it in the, you know, 200s, low to mid 200s. It depends on the leverage point, but there's, you know, those are fixed rate loans. They get securitized, and they're generally being more aggressive on proceeds than the banks right now.
A number of months ago, you put together a large syndication of a loan. How long did it take? And what? Tell me a little bit about the project.
Sure. I think you're referring to a large ground-up construction deal that we did in Coney Island. It was 499 residential units. We put together a syndicate of five banks for a $252 million loan, and it took probably from start to finish 8 months to put that bank group together. Very challenging, and I think that dynamic persists today. I think it's very challenging. The banks, their hold limits, what they would want to hold on a loan has come down. So they generally want to hold no more than, you know, call it $50 million on the high end on a construction loan. So, you know, we've been looking and doing more loans with life insurance companies and debt funds. I think there's more appetite for larger tickets than you'll find with the regional banks.
So let's talk about life insurance companies. Have they become much more active?
You know, look, come the beginning of the year, they get their fresh allocations. So you do see in the first quarter, you know, at the end of last year, they had slowed down. I we're getting quotes all the time from life insurance companies. They are active.
What type of leverage? And,
you know, life insurance companies have never been known for higher leverage. They're generally in that, call it, you know, 55-65% leverage range. I mean, maybe you get them up to 70% on a multifamily deal. In construction, you know, they generally will provide an A note, and you'll marry them up with a mezzanine lender or a preferred equity provider to get the leverage higher. But they're generally in the 50% loan to cost context. But
what about the debt funds who have been active?
Yeah, the debt funds have been providing a lot of liquidity in the construction market. We see them go up on leverage up into definitely into the 75, you know, 70, 75, even sometimes pushing 80% loan to cost leverage. You know, but when you think about that type of a loan, really what's happening is they're going out and they're going to borrow an A note from somebody, from a life insurance company or from a Madison or an Axos or, you know, one of those type of players. And ultimately, they're ending up with a subordinate piece. So it's just a way to originate subordinate capital in reverse.
But what about condominium loans?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we're going to see more condominium loans as the 421A went away and people really, the viability of building rentals on a lot of land in the city doesn't work. So we're seeing people pivot towards condo plans. You know, there's definitely liquidity for condos. It's just a question of, can you make the math work on a condo deal? The lenders are going to want to, you know, they're going to want to be, you know, no more than generally 60% of loan to net sellout. So, you know, you're going to have to look at what price points people are projecting. I think lenders generally want to stay away from the very large, super high-end expensive units. They want the kind of more, you know, in that, call it $2 to $5 million range, where it's a little bit more liquid and they move a little bit faster.
What about land loans?
Land loans are challenging. You know, most banks don't want to make them. If they do make them, they're generally full recourse. The debt funds will make land loans, but, you know, when you look at the cost of carry on those land loans, we're seeing a lot of people buying land all equity. If they have that kind of a checkbook. If they don't, they'll have to, you know, bake the cost of the capital, as it, you know, bake the cost of interest and carry into their pro forma and see if they can pencil the deal. But it's, you know, right now land is generally lower leverage and it's expensive debt.
What about financing for hotels and retail?
Well, I'll start with retail because it's an easier answer. I mean, I think retail is actually, you know, a bright spot right now. I think that, you know, retail's doing well on a relative basis. I think we've kind of come out of the COVID doom and gloom, and sales seem to be pretty strong. Leasing velocity seems good. It's like anything else. You got to look at the rents. There's still some legacy rents that are above market that were signed, you know, pre-COVID. And in today's market, when you look at them, if that tenant were to go out, you're not going to be able to replace that rent. So assuming you don't have an issue with above market rents, there's plenty of liquidity from banks and CMBS and life companies for quality retail. Not as relevant in this market, but, you know, grocery-anchored retail centers are...
Everybody loves. Okay, what about hospitality?
Hospitality is challenging. In New York, I think, you know, union payroll issues are still something focused on. Real estate taxes continue to be challenging. But, you know, a hotel deal kind of in the, you know, what I'll call Central Park West area, and we had plenty of bids. CMBS is an active player in that arena, as are the debt funds. I think the banks will lend on hotels, but it's going to be a relationship loan for somebody that they have a, you know, that they have a track record with. But we're getting them done with in the conduit space.
So when I was on TV, I used to have my Crystal Apple, and I would rub it, and I would ask Crystal Apple, what's going to be? How do you look for the end of 2024 and 2025?
You know, look, that's a great question. I think there's a few cliches that are pretty prominent in the market right now, and it's higher for longer, right, which is referring to kind of the, you know, the reality that rates are not coming down anytime soon. And, you know, this hope that the Fed is going to lower rates, you know, inflation keeps popping back up. And I think the market sentiment is that the amount of cuts and the severity of cuts to rates is not what people are hoping for. So everyone's monitoring that. And I think the other cliche that you keep hearing a lot is survive till 25. So, you know, I think hopefully towards the second part of this year, you'll start to see rates come down, you know, hopefully in that 50 to 75 basis point context. And that'll give some breathing room. I don't think that that's going to cure all the problems in the market, but it certainly take a little bit of pressure off.
I'd like to thank Ronnie Levine for being here, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks, Michael.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.